How many of you have ever seen Family Circle, the little comic? I have a one for you to look at now. Can you read it? It shows a boy coming into the kitchen. His mom's there, and there's stuff from breakfast and everything all around, and he brings a crowd of kids with him, and it's the little boy saying, "The bus didn't show up, so I said you'd be more than happy to drive us." And mom, who's in her nightgown, looks a little aghast at that moment. Our kids are very precious to us. And you could say that mom is his son's hero, wouldn't you agree? You got to love kids. They are in a different world than us as adults. As kids, we tend to look at the adults around us as models, as examples. Their character, who they are, talk about security for us, protection for us, and even power in their lives. And we appreciate everything our parents do for us as we're growing up, especially as children. I can remember thinking as a young kid, my parents, they can do anything. That's just the way we thought. Of course, as I grew up, I matured, I became much more sophisticated and found other powerful examples to look up to. People like Superman, or one of my personal favorites, Flash Gordon. You all remember him well, I'm sure. But nowadays, we have many, many more powerful superheroes and models of power and protection. And we have a collection of them there. You can see Captain America, and I see the Incredible Hulk, and there's a whole bunch of them there. If you can name them all, I'll be very impressed. Today, we're going to look at a different type of power. We're going to look at an absolute, true, consistent power, a real person. It's not just made for TV or a movie or a video game. This person acts as our protector, our comforter. It is actually God's voice in our very being as followers of Jesus Christ. We're going to see how the power and role of God's own Holy Spirit plays out in our lives. We're going to see it up close and personal. As children of God, we are adopted by God into his family. We have a status of being his very own children. So we are officially now in the middle of Romans on our journey on the Roman road. It's a very technical book, and hopefully I've made it so you can take it in. It's not too complicated for you. Paul wants us to know how holy God is. And as we've talked about many times, he wants us to know how unholy we are, how we're all sinners. But we know God's love is great. And he provides an eternal solution for us. And the Apostle Paul, as he wrote Romans, always has that in mind, understanding that sin is still part of our lives. I mean, we live in a fallen world. But Paul shifts our focus from our sinfulness to the great resources, the great truth, and the care that God has for each of us. He wants us to know the power we have in Christ, in the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be ruled by sin any longer. Romans 8, 1 through 2 will tell us great truths. And if we're reading in the NIV, I'm going to use the NLT, but if we're reading from the NIV, it would use the word therefore. After 7 chapters, Paul comes to this, okay, we've talked about all this. And therefore, let me pick up Romans 8, 1 through 2 in the NLT. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Chapter 8, we find the strength and benefits of belonging to Jesus Christ. And it's through that relationship that we're not condemned, but actually we're set free from the power, the threat that sin has held over us. We sometimes forget that because of our fallen world, our fallen state that we're in, mankind is condemned. Mankind is condemned to hell, to eternal separation from God. You see, hell is the default. That's where we go unless we accept God's gift. Contrary to what many people believe, the Bible's pretty clear on this. Unless we belong to Jesus Christ, we will be lost. Paul is making a very significant point in Romans 8:1, that as believers, we are not condemned anymore. We can be assured and have great assurance that we are saved by the living, loving God, our Father in heaven, who is present. He's involved with us in our lives. He even calls us his children. Look at some of the additional benefits as we look at verse 2. We've been freed from the power of sin. Even though the effects surround us, even though we have tendencies to want to fall into sin, it no longer has power. It is no longer our master to serve. We are freed from that bondage for all time. Just to make sure we understand it, Paul looks to review what he's been saying about the law and God's grand solution as he writes to the Christians in the Church of Rome. It's kind of interesting, as I read it, I noticed the Trinity showing up. There's a number of passages that do that. In verses 3 and 4 of Romans 8 is one of those passages. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. That's the plan. After giving the mechanics of the law, Paul continues to even tell us more practical things for us about how it actually works in our hearts and in our heads especially. Verses 5 and 6 of Romans 8, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So here's a spot where the rubber meets the road, formally an application for you. What do you do with your mind? What do you fill it up with? What controls do you have in allowing things to come into your mind? Your sinful mind will be more than happy to let all kinds of things come into it. Paul gives us a very straightforward answer for a teaching of what he thinks we should be thinking about. If our intake is trash on TV or bad movies or inappropriate reading, guess what will come out of us? If our input is gossip and negative friends that we surround ourselves with, guess what people will hear from us? If our focus is pursuing the material delights of this world, I think we all understand what those around us will know of us. If, on the other hand, Jesus Christ and the grace that he provides for us is the center of our minds, then that will define us. What others will see will be picked up. One of my favorite verses, one of my more challenging verses, and I wish I could say I follow it to the letter. It is a verse I use to help me follow things to the letter, because we all struggle what comes into our minds. We can't help it. Our world, our sinful fallen world, is always coming into us. Let me read Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Many of you might know this. It's one of those good ones to memorize. And if you're like me, you'll use it often. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. This is to the church in Philippi. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now, when I look at this verse and hold it against my life, I can be convicted. And at the same time, I can be strengthened because I know what I need to do. And those verses are so good. Whatever is honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. There's so many things we can think about, but we don't. It goes with that phrase, garbage in, garbage out. We need to be very intentional as to what flows into our minds, to guard our hearts. Paul tells us why we struggle and what should be at the wheelhouse of our life or the control center of our minds. Romans 8, 7 through 9, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It is. That is just a natural thing. It never did obey God's laws and never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. As humans, we are so used to just following our fallen nature. It comes so natural to us. We have to work at breaking bad habits and putting good habits in their place. With God's Holy Spirit, we have the power within us to pursue that. Or we just ignore it. And we choose to do what we want to do, what we think is the wisest thing, the best thing, the thing that serves us best. Paul wants us to know that as Christians, the Holy Spirit is there, living and residing in us. Our Christian lives are not a tribute to religion, but a tribute to our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's a close personal relationship with Him, one that enables you and I to ask our Father, to ask our Lord for help at any time, to lead us where we know we need to go from where we naturally go. Remember, as we've learned in Romans, we have been made right with God. So use His living Spirit residing in you to instruct you how to be transformed, to grow from where you are now, to grow where you need to go. Romans 8, 10 through 11, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Break that habit, that default, that says you have to go with your fallen nature, you have to go with your instincts. Stop. Change directions. You are under no obligation to follow that corrupted thought in your mind or your heart. You can just feel Paul as he's urging us to be victorious in that hidden battle of our minds. Romans 8, 12 through 13, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. We end our passage today with some comforting words Paul wants us to realize. Not only how deep God's love is for us, but how He thinks about us. How deeply we belong to Him. We are greatly loved as His children. What a picture for our minds. Those of us who have children know how we feel about our kids, how deep it goes. So you can understand the word picture that Paul has used as he's talked about that kind of relationship. Romans 8, 14 through 16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a gift that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now, we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. At the start of the sermon, I showed you that Family Circus cartoon showing the son as he assumed what his mom would do. He assumed her abilities to help out, not just for him, but also for all his friends as well. Of course, the humor was She'd have to be superhuman to come through with all her son's expectations. Sometimes we forget how close the relationship we have with God is. We also forget how much more powerful than any superhero God is. God invites us. Our Father encourages us, urges us to draw close to Him. He wants us to find our security, our comfort, our protection in Him as we live life, even as we live life in stumble. Many of you know the story of the man in Scripture that wanted his inheritance and he wanted it now. There are good times to be had and he wanted to pursue them. And he wanted to pursue them now, so he essentially told his dad, "I wish you were dead." For whatever reason, the father gave his son his inheritance. And of course, in the son's wisdom, his selfish wisdom, he went out and blew it on wine, woman, and song. He pursued his heart with himself on the throne, which eventually led to eating with the pigs. Luke 15 tells us at that point, at that very low point, the son realized how much better the lowest servant in his father's staff was than he was. At least they could eat regularly. Maybe if he went back and just asked his dad, "Will you let me just work for you for food?" And if you know the story, you know that when the father spotted the son coming down the road, he yelled to his servants to bring out a robe. He threw a big banquet party and welcomed his son and told him how much he loved him. He restored him. That's how God is with us. Even though we take off running on our own, and don't we do that well, God never loses sight of us. He never stops loving us. We are His children. Children of the living God. He's just waiting for us to recognize it. To recognize that He has all the power. He has all the resources we'll ever need. He has the answers for the problems that we face daily. Not to mention, He has the supreme power to restore us forever in heaven with Him. We don't need no stinking fake superhero, do we? We just need to grab hold of the greatest power, the greatest relationship we'll ever encounter as His children. We can call Him dearest Father, Abba Father, through faith in His Son Jesus Christ, who frees us from all condemnation. We have a living Holy Spirit of God residing in us to strengthen us, to give us the boldness in our own lives to do what we need to do. Let me close with a passage to the Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. As His children, let us celebrate our relationship with our loving, all-powerful Father in heaven." Let me pray. Lord, the Apostle Paul sure writes a heavy letter, as he says time and time again, the realities of our world, of our lives. And he also says time and time again how deep your love is for us. Help us to discover the wonderful nature of your grace in our lives, that every day, even as we stumble, you are there to pick us up, to restore us, to comfort us, to protect us. Lord, in a fallen world, our challenges never quit. Our emotions are always grabbing different things. And yet, you can guide our hearts. You can instruct us. You can give us community around us to strengthen us, to encourage us as we look to worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.